Good evening, everybody. My name is William Edwards. I'm from Kimberley. I'm 19 years old. I just want to share a very short testimony of my life with you guys and what God's done in my life. We were farmers. We farmed when I was young. We were reasonably wealthy. And from a young age, my mom taught me about the Holy Spirit and what He can do and how great He is. And I always saw her going to church, and I sat on the floor at church and always wondered, who are these people worshiping, playing with my toys, not really understanding who God is or what He is. And then the one day, my mom asked me, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And I said, is it going to give me this happiness you have? And she said, yes. I said, well, then for sure. And so it happened, and I gave my life to Jesus. And then I got older, and everything started changing. I was a very devoted Christian, and from there, I didn't understand what was happening to me. I started developing depression when I was in grade 7, and this carried on through my high school career. And through this time, I prayed to God, and I said, God, I'm one of yours. Why don't you help me? Why am I in this situation? And I prayed and I prayed, but nothing seemed to change. And I began to get so hopeless. And then what happened is I mixed with the wrong crowd, got into drugs and alcohol from a very young age, grade 8. And then I had a massive fight with my dad the one night, I remember this. And I was cross with my fatherly figure from earth, and I was cross with God and Jesus, and I swore at Him. And I said, you say you love me, but this is not love to treat me like this. I've been faithful, I'm praying for so long for you to help me, but nothing's coming. So then I decided to go against Jesus. And that's when I became a Satanist. I became a Satanist, and my aim was basically to prove God wrong. I said to Him that, yes, when I was a Christian, my aim was to win souls for you, but now my aim is to get souls away from you. And I really pride myself in getting people not to believe in Jesus, or just giving them a false verse from the Bible that I just changed a bit and see how gullible people were. As I went deeper into the cult, the depression just started getting worse and worse. And I started feeling that there's an emptiness inside of me. I used to go to school and come back just to stay the whole day inside my room, not wanting to see anybody or have to do anything to do with anything. That's when my depression got so bad, I finally said to my parents, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it on my own. I need help. They thought it was just a phase and said they'll pray for me. But they didn't realize that I didn't want their prayer. I said to them, pray for someone who needs it. I don't want your prayer. I don't want anything to do with your God. That's when it happened, when God sent a spiritual advisor to me called Wiseman Kamanga. And he led me through youth. And I went to youth every Friday night, but I wasn't there for the praise and worship. I was there to see who I can deceive at the church. And depression just started getting worse and worse as I got older. And when it came into grade 11 and matric, it got to the stage where I felt hopeless and emptiness. This came because I chased the Holy Spirit and God out of my heart. And that's when I tried to commit suicide. I took my dad's revolver and put the gun in my mouth and pulled the trigger. To my surprise and amazement, the gun didn't go off. People prayed for me, and it got a little bit better, but only again for me to fall into a hell. The second time I tried to commit suicide, I took an overdose of pills. In the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit woke my mom up and told her, your son's life's in danger, you need to pray for him. She was obedient and prayed for me. I spent 3 weeks in Bloom Care in matric, and after that, I was just so unsure what happened. And that's when the devil really came and attacked me. And he said to me that no one loves you, and you should try to kill yourself again. No one cares for you. No one loves you. You don't mean anything to anyone or anything. I started to believe this lie, and I felt so guilty. Then one day someone prayed for me, and this sparked something in me just to get back to know Jesus. Then the devil came again. He said to me, Jesus will never accept you. The things that you have done to people, never. You're not worthy of His love. And for a long time, this was in my head, and I something that I battled with, thinking that God and Jesus don't love me anymore for the terrible things that I've done. And then this spiritual advisor, wise man Kamanga, sat down with me one day, and he just said to me, "William, do you know what?" And I said, "No." He said, "Nothing you can do or say can ever take away God's love for you." I was shocked. I said, "But you don't know what I've been in. You don't know what I've done." He said, "Nothing." And he asked me to pray with him. I prayed with him, and then I got invited to go to church with a friend of mine's people. They hire a house from these people. And I went to church. And when I went to church, the beginning was difficult. It always felt like the devil did his best to keep me out of church. But I went. And I recommitted my life to the Lord. And from there, everything just started changing. Everything started falling into place. And thank you. I just want to say thank you so much.
Don't we serve an amazing, amazing God? His name, William Edwards, it sounds like he must like be this famous Christian somewhere in the world. Don't you think so? Like the name William Edwards, it just sounds like Jonathan Edwards or William Seymour. Who these guys are? He's like got a combination of William and Edwards. It's amazing. But I think God has got a massive plan for your life. Thanks for that. It so ties in with this evening's sermon. Who's expectant here this evening? Where's you? This crowd is awesome. I mean, like, I think you got them started, you know. You got them started, you know. I agree with him. We've got an amazing family. You guys are amazing. The morning service people, you guys must meet some of our families. We've got amazing families in our church. God is just doing amazing stuff, guys. Who knows what the last word in the Old Testament is? It's not a nice word. It says curse. The earth will be cursed. Or it says, lest I strike the earth with a curse. Don't think it's... In fact, it's amazing that we've got the New Testament. Because otherwise we'd all be in trouble, amen. So isn't Jesus amazing that he can save William's life, he can save my life, he can save your life, he can save anyone's life from a curse? See, that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to break the curse that was on the earth because of the fall. Jesus came to break the curse of sin, the curse of shame, the curse of guilt, the curse of slavery, the curse of so many things. But just before that, it says that Jesus came and John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to come to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and children to fathers. And so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. We're busy with a series called Identity. Who am I? The second part of the title of my sermon, Who Am I? And we're doing it in our Connect group. So if you're not in a Connect group, I want to say, get to one. We're discussing these things. It's an opportunity for you to really talk about the sermon and not just hear the word on a Sunday, but be doers of the word. I mean, let the word change you, because on a Sunday, it's so quick. There's not time to really work through it, but we want to work through stuff. And you probably think, I've heard this before, and I want to say, great, because you're going to hear it again and again until it becomes real in your life. Amen. So again, tonight, we're going to talk about identity. Just like last week, we talked about identity. We're going to talk again about who you are. You've been created, you've been chosen, you've been called, but I'm just going to look at a little bit of a different angle tonight. Because we are being established in God. Amen. That is what I'm trusting in this next while, that we be established in God, that we're rooted and grounded in our faith, that we know who we are in Christ. Because if we don't know our identity, we're lost. Amen. If we don't know who we are, we're lost. A.W. Tozer once said an amazing thing. He said, the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. I want to say that again. The most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. So I want to ask you that question tonight. What do you think about when I say God? What comes to mind when we talk about this amazing God. You see, there are various images of God in our lives, and I don't know how you've grown up. I don't know what your image of God is, but I've just got a couple of things that you can think about, because maybe you think about God in a certain way just because you see your father like that, or you've seen other leaders in your life. That's how they are. So it forms an image of God in your mind. So I've got 9 here, and there are lots more, but the first one is, maybe you think about God like he's this accountant. Is there anyone studying accounting here in the house? Or we don't have too many. Johan is an accountant. Some are studying accounting. But maybe we think about God as, you know, God is like into debits and credits. So he's into ticking the right things you've done and the wrong things. And as long as you've done more right things, then you're okay. You know, like that's how God is. He's this accountant God. Credits and debits. Or maybe you think about God as an eBay God, you know, like he's like, you can trade with him, you know, we can buy and sell, and yeah, let's bargain a little bit with God, you know, like we do on eBay, on the internet. Let's bargain a little bit with him because he's the eBay God. Or maybe you think about God as this grandpa, you know, I don't know about you, I had a grandpa who used to hand out sweets to us when we were small, you know, like he used to go, like wee little turkeys pecking on the floor, says like, throw them around, there's gulu, 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 these little beans, you know, like trying to find a bean on the floor. Maybe think about God as this grandpa God, and he's friendly, and he's got this long beard, and, you know, there's some sweets available if you're really good, you know. Or maybe you think about God as this very strict schoolmaster, you know, he's like into performance, and you better do things right, and you better get into line, and you better bring your pull your weight, and, you know. Otherwise, a few taps on the bottom. You guys are growing up in an age where hidings, I guess, just don't happen anymore. Anyone had a hiding in, or anyone didn't have a hiding in your life? Who's never had a hiding in their lives? A couple of people. Some people are just very good, you know. But these days at school, they don't give hiding. So, but anyway, in the old days, like the schoolmaster was like a fearful person, because you go to the master's office and you're in trouble. But maybe you see God like that, and you just got to keep in line the whole time. Or maybe you see God as the force, you know, he's like out there somewhere. It's just this, you know, we talk about the man upstairs, you know, like the force. Don't really know who he is and what he does, but he's out there, you know. Or maybe you think about God in terms of fire and brimstone, doomsday, judgment, hell. Just stay away from him. Just avoid him at all costs. Or maybe you think about God as the church God, you know. Shh. Quiet. Don't move. Maybe you think about God like Buddy Bob, you know. Hey, dude, we can have a lack of fellowship, you know. Cool, man, let's talk about stuff and life. And, you know, my buddy, you know, God, let's talk about some jokes here. Let's just chill, you know. But there's no respect. Or maybe you think about God as this politically correct God. Everything must just be okay and right, and don't offend people. Don't challenge the status quo. Let's just keep everyone happy. You see, the Satan challenges us. The devil, Satan himself, challenges the image of God. Isn't that so? He wants to create in us any image of God that can just be against who God really is. And so he'll give us so many gods, and he'll say, this is who God is. And people will say, this is who God is. And so our image of God is many times so strong, because of how we've grown up. And many times it's because of a father in our lives. A father who has portrayed and is supposed to portray the heart of God. And I want to say tonight that the good news is that God is a father. Amen. And God is not the reflection of our earthly fathers, but he is the perfection thereof. I don't know what your earthly father is like. I don't know how you've grown up. And maybe some of you have never seen your father because, you know, You were conceived, but he was just never there. He didn't want you. Or maybe he left you when you were young. Or maybe he's just not been interested in your life. He's there, but he's not there. So Satan will do everything to destroy the image of who God really is. And tonight I want to read us a scripture from Luke chapter 15, one of my favorite portions of scripture, because it so clearly depicts the Father heart of God. Amen. Now I want to say tonight, I want you to turn to someone next to you and say that God is a Father. So I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. If you can follow or get on your phones and follow the scriptures. They're not up there, unfortunately. We're not doing the PowerPoint thing for a while. Just, you know, change is good. We'll do it again if you want to. If you really want to, I'll put the PowerPoints up. But the Word of God is so powerful. It's so nice to read out of this book. Amen. Because sometimes we, you know, we read on our phones and we get the word written down and all of that. But I love the pure, unadulterated, powerful word of God. Isn't it amazing? So I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but I'm just going to highlight a few things in the scripture that talks about the heart of God. Because I trust tonight that you'll maybe see God a little bit differently. Maybe you see you've got a great father, and I want to say no earthly father is perfect. So every earthly father is going to disappoint you in some way. Amen. Just want to say that. Don't have a perfect image of your dad, because your dad is not perfect. And I want to say, don't have any perfect image of any leader in your life. Don't have a perfect image of me, please, because I'm very sinful. I'm fallen. I make lots of mistakes. Don't have any perfect image of your boss one day, or, you know, your coach one day, or your lecturer. Don't have a perfect image of any leader, of any person, because no father figure is perfect. Amen. But there is one who is perfect. Isn't that amazing? And we heard tonight that he saves people. And he loves people. And his name is Jesus, and he came to reflect the heart of the Father. And so Jesus, Dr. Luke writes here exactly what his master Jesus talked to his disciples about. And so Luke records what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 15. And Jesus had one purpose of recording the scripture, and that was to show the heart of the Father. And I know this is all about the parable of the lost son, and yes, it's great. It is about the lost son. In fact, it's not only about one son, it's about another son as well. But I believe more than the sons, this book is, or the scripture is about the heart of the Father. And if we can get this, it doesn't matter who we are, whether we are the lost son or the older son, we can know the heart of the Father. So in verse 12, the son comes and he says to his father, Father, give me all my inheritance. Give me everything that is owed to me. And in verse 12, it says here that his father gave or divided to them his livelihood. He gave to that son his livelihood. The first thing that I want to say about God the Father is that he is just, he is fair, and he's giving. Amen. He gave what he promised to give his son, because he said to both his sons, I've got an inheritance, you know what? And I'm going to divide it exactly between you two. I'm going to give it fairly. He gave because the son asked, but it was very fair as to what he gave him. And he didn't not give the other son his inheritance. The other son didn't ask for it, but the inheritance was there. But the younger son said, Father, give me my inheritance. I want it. He was like, okay, it's due to you. I'll give you it. God the Father gives to each one of us what is, in a way, due to us. Life. We've been born. God gave us life. He's given us life, not because we wanted it, but he wanted us to have life. So he's given us the gift of life. So whether you serve God or not, the people out there, you know what? They can be so thankful they've got life. Whether they know God or not, God is just and fair. He gives life. Amen. And he doesn't only give life, but he gives talents, he gives abilities, and he gives gifts. And I want you to think tonight about what God has given you. Because whether you know him or not, he's given you so much to be thankful for. Every morning when the sun rises, God is faithful. You know, God can wipe this earth away in a minute. In fact, in a second, not even a second, this earth can be gone. But every morning, have you noticed, the sun comes up. Isn't that cool? Some of us need to wake up a bit early in the morning, you know, just to see the sunrise. You know, students sleep late, like, oh, yes, the sun's like still high up. Oh, sun, close my curtains, you know. It's like my kids, they sleep late on the school days, but in the weekends, they're like up early, you know. But sometimes we need to open our curtains and actually wait for it to get light, to see the beauty of the dawn, to see the beauty of the morning, that God is just this awesome God. And then you get like David and you get emotional and you just say, God, praise you. In fact, I'm going to praise you before the morning starts because you're so amazing and you're faithful. Every day the sun comes up. God gives us life. He's so fair and he gives it to everyone. Have you noticed? Everyone has the sun rising upon them and setting again every day. The farmers have rain, whether they love God or not. God blesses people. So God is just, he's fair, and he's a giving God. He wants to give, give, give. And so the son decides, you know what? This is awesome. I've got money. I've got so many, you know, and some of us are like that. We've got so many gifts and talents, and you know what? This is great. I can rule the world. I can just go and live a life. So that's what he does. He runs away from his father's house. He lives his life. And then he comes to his senses. And he realizes he's wasted it. And you know what he thinks about this prodigal son, this lost son? You know what the first thing he starts to think about when he's at the worst point in his life? It says that he comes to his senses. You know, that's a good thing for us to come back to God, to come to our senses. To realize who we really are and that we so need God. It's a good thing to come to your senses and to repent. But you know what he thought about before he repented? He thought about the fact that every one of the father's hired servants had abundance. Let's read verse 17. He says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and here I am perishing with hunger. He considered the fact that in his father's house, even the servants, the hired servants had abundant life. You know, it says bread and enough to spare. That means like you've got enough to give. You've got enough to give to other people. I think that's abundant life, wouldn't you say? Abundant life is when you've got more than enough than just for yourself. I just want to say that this evening. This is for free. If you've got abundant life, it means you're going to give out. Amen. Anyone giving out here? Anyone giving some of the gospel to other people? Anyone testifying to other people of your abundant life? I think we should, because there's more than enough. I want to say, even for the servants in this father's house, there was abundant life. There was food, there was provision. And this son realized, you know what? I've just messed up my life. I've just wasted my life. And now I think about the servants and I think I'm at a worse place than my servants. But my point here, than my father's servants, my point this evening is that God is kind to everyone. The Father is kind to every person. And I believe this is what made the prodigal son turn around. You know, the Bible says that God's goodness leads us to repentance. Have you thought about the goodness of God? You know, when you do that, you just repent. God, I'm so sorry of my complaining. I'm so sorry of my negative attitude. Lord, I'm actually in such a bad place, Lord. And I need to be where you are, God. Where you are, there's life. Amen. There's joy. Because God is kind to everyone. But it made the son return. Made the son come back to his father's house. But listen to this, verse 20. So the son decides now. He decides in his own. This is a good thing for us as believers to do, what this son did. If you're at a bad place in your life, you know, don't just rush into something. Don't just repent quickly. Don't just do it. You know, there's no such thing as quick repentance, okay? Some people think, I'll just, you know, oh, sorry, God, and then we go on. You know what the son did? It says, I will arise. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to decide to go back to my father and to say, Father, this is exactly what I've done wrong. So he counts the cost. He says to himself, I'm going to do this. Son, you're a naughty son now. You're a rebel. You've lost your life. You're wasting your life. But you know what? I know my father's house is the best place to be. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn away. I'm going to say to him, I'm really sorry. I've actually sinned against heaven and against you. I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against everyone. But you know what, Father? I just want to be like one of your hired servants. Because I see they've got life. I see they've got amazing bread and there's enough to spare. And you know, I'm going to really go back and turn away. Father, I just want you to forgive me. So he decides that. And then listen to what in verse 20. And so he arose and he came to his father, but listen to this. This is the father's heart. But when He was still a great way off. Say, a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. That to me, verse 20, you can highlight that. You can like say, woohoo, this is awesome. This is God's heart for me and for everyone. God is a forgiving God. But you know what? He does it very specifically. So this father saw, number one, he had eyes of mercy. He saw. He saw the son from a long way off. And you know what that means for me? He was waiting for the son to return. Do you know that God is waiting for people to return? God is so ready to forgive people. God is so ready to welcome people into his kingdom. William, didn't you feel welcomed back as a son? Doesn't matter what you have done. This God is looking and he's running. So the first thing is he saw. In other words, he ran. He was like moved immediately. It wasn't like he like hesitated. You know, some of us when we go to our parents' house, then like we have to like really like literally break the door down and say, you know, Daddy, Mommy, I'm here. You know, I don't know if your parents are like that, but we've got it like, I'm here, hello. But that's not God's heart. God is like, when you're driving along and they hear the carts, like they run outside. My son, my daughter, love you. It's so cool to have you home. Some of us have never been welcomed back like that, but I want to say the heart of the Father is to welcome you back into his arms. But we'll get to that now. But he forgives. And so he's got compassion. He's got a stomach of mercy. He's got eyes of mercy. He's got bowels of mercy. He's moved with compassion when he sees someone returning. When he sees his son coming back, he's like moved with compassion. And then he runs. And for a Jewish man to run, it's like, no, you don't do that. You've got these long robes on and you're supposed to be all dignified. And this father says, you know what? I don't care about my reputation. I'm running to the son. So he runs to the son, and then it gets worse, okay, worse. It's like this father's just got so much love, it doesn't end. And so this guy's full of pig poo and all the stuff, you know, pig mess and stinking like the pig's food. And so he's not lekker. This father kisses him on the neck, you know. I'm sure he had like sweat and junk on his neck, and he's like, embrace him. That's the father's heart. He kisses him. He's got first of all arms of mercy. He falls on his neck. He hugs him and then he kisses him. He's got lips of mercy. Everything about him is compassionate and merciful. And he forgives. He forgives. He forgives. So I don't know about you. This excites me that people can get saved. And hearing William's testimony tonight, I don't know. I'm excited that anyone can get saved because God is so ready. He's so waiting. It's like he believes that the son's going to return. Amen. He believed. He really hoped and he trusted and he was ready. This father was ready for the son to return. He could see him from a long way off. In other words, he really was waiting for him. And God is waiting for lost people to come back. Amen. So I want to tell us as a church tonight, God is waiting for lost people. Let's also be excited and be waiting for lost people to come to Jesus. Amen. Someone will get excited yet tonight. And so the son comes and he starts to repent. You know, he does the exact thing that he's practiced. You know, when we're good, we've practiced our little verses, you know, ons rympies like that, ons oefen het mooi, and then we're going to say. So he's like, he's practiced his little rympie now, and he's saying it nicely, and the father just interrupts him halfway through. He says, stop, don't do any more. I see your heart. And so he interrupts him, and he shows him his forgiveness. He shows him. He demonstrates his forgiveness. Isn't that what Jesus Christ came to do? It says that God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us by sending Jesus. Isn't that great? And I want to say tonight that forgiveness is a demonstration. Forgiveness isn't just praikies, not just nice lip service, not just nice talk. Can I say that again? Someone missed that. Forgiveness is a demonstration. Forgiveness isn't a nice talk. Because sometimes we forgive and then we don't demonstrate it. And so I want to say tonight, if you need to forgive someone, you need to demonstrate, just like this father did. He forgave his son and he demonstrated it. And guess what he did? Did amazing stuff to the son. He restored him to a greater place of glory. He forgave him so much that he said, you know what? I'm not only going to tell you that you're forgiven. I'm going to show you that you're forgiven. Yeah, here's my He has the robe of righteousness, the best robe. Tell someone next to you, the best robe. Do you know that God has put the best robe on us as his children? Yaku, God has put the best robe on you. Jock, God has put the best robe on you. Marilise, God has put the best robe on you. Lawrence, God has put the best robe on you. It's the robe of righteousness. It's his son. That we can be in right standing with God. We are called sons of God. And so God, the Father here, gives the son his best robe, and then he says, put a ring on his finger. In other words, give him all the authority that I have. It was a signet ring that the father gave his son, meaning that he could stamp documents and he could certify things. And so everything that the father could do, the son could now do. He was given all the father's authority. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that. I don't know about you, but if you think about this, it's like this son has just come home. He's just been with the pigs. He's like, hasn't proved himself or anything, but the father gives him his authority. It's like, how's that for trust? He says, you know what? I understand your heart. I can see something in your heart. So yeah, he has my authority. And then he gives him sandals to put on. He says, you know what? You've got a destiny. You've got a reason to live. You've got purpose. Some of us need to know tonight that you have a purpose for living. You've got a reason for living. But you first need to know who you are before you know why you're here. And we'll talk about that in 2 weeks' time. Why are we here? But the father gave him a ring, he gave him a robe, and he gave him sandals, talking about identity, authority, and destiny. Gave him everything that he needed. So the Father restores his children to a better place. And I want to say tonight, God wants to take us from glory to glory. Amen. Let's not get comfortable with where we are. Let's say, God, there's still stuff in my life, but take me to the next level of glory. Take me to more repentance, God. Take me to more healing, to more forgiveness, to more freedom, that I can live in my full inheritance, and that is to be your son, to be your free son. But listen to this, it gets even better. So he's restored his son now. He says, son, I'll give you everything that I have, but you know what? More than that, guys, whoa, servants, come, bring the fatted calf. Bring the best calf. Do you know that anyone farming here, or come from a farm, like, who knows? Anyone, I think, that's just logical knows that a calf doesn't just get fat, okay? Hey, Zane, I mean, the calves on your farm don't just get fat, okay? You've got to feed them, especially in a drought. Then they don't get very fat, they get thin. So this calf was not born fat. This calf had to be made fat. In other words, it talks about this father preparing the best calf for his son because he knew somehow the son's going to return. And I said it this morning, you know, I think the father thought, you know, the longer this guy is going to stay away, the fatter this calf is going to get, you know. But when he comes home, there's going to be a big celebration. So I'll just keep feeding this calf until it pops, okay? And hopefully the son comes back before the calf pops. But this calf is going to be fat. If he takes a long time, it's going to be huge. Because we're going to even have a huger celebration. I'll never forget my 21st, okay? That was like many years ago. It's 19 years ago. Can you believe it? I'm 40, guys. Just life begins at 40, okay? But it's only next week. You can wish me happy birthday next week, okay? I've got a week to go. Yeah. Make the most of this, like, last of the childish days, you know? Then I'm like an adult. I never want to get old, okay? I'm a child in the house of God. I want to stay a child. Be like a child. But I'll never forget my 21st birthday party. I had the biggest celebration. There were three celebrations that I will not forget. The third one happened like yesterday. It was so awesome. Celebration for my 40th birthday. And the other one was my wedding. But the first one in my life where I was really felt celebrated was my 21st. And my parents like literally slaughtered the fatted calf. We had a marquee tent on the farm. All the neighbors were invited. All my friends. It was like, we're going to celebrate the sun. And I don't know about you, but if you've been celebrated in your life, you know you feel special. I mean, every year, hopefully, you all feel celebrated when you have your birthday, you know. That's why we should have birthdays. We should celebrate our birthdays. We should at least just get excited about the fact that we're alive and another year has been added to us. But I know some of us never feel celebrated because We just don't know that the heart of God is to celebrate. And I want to say tonight, God wants to celebrate you. Amen. The Father wanted to celebrate His Son, and so He did the best He could. And I believe our response to the celebration should simply be, like we sang tonight, I want to give you an offering of praise. I want to welcome you with praise. I want to love you with praise, Lord, because you are great. But God the Father celebrates His children, and He tells His servants, bring out the best cloth. We're going to have a massive, massive bridesmaid. And I want to say tonight that God wants to celebrate you every single day. He wants to celebrate you every day because that is who He is. That is the Father's heart. He celebrates His children. And then the story moves on, and then we go on to the oldest son. And the oldest son hears this massive celebration. He hears the party going on, and then he starts to think, what is happening here? What's all this about? And he asks the servants, and the servants tell him, listen, yeah, your brother's back. Like, you should be, come, celebrate with. No, I don't want to be there. So he's slaving out in the field, and he's doing the right thing, and he's working so hard, but no, there's no time to celebrate because I've never been celebrated. So he suddenly, all his issues start to come out, and he's confronted with the fact that his brother's back, and the father's like seems to be favoring his brother, and his heart just becomes hard. But what does the father do in verse 28? It says the brother was angry and he would not go in, and therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. The second last characteristic I want to mention tonight is that God the Father pleads with His children, just like this father pleaded with his oldest son. Just come, just come, just come. It's not about your brother or about me or about you. It's about, let's all celebrate together. Our family is blessed because your brother is back. And I want to say sometimes we need to celebrate when someone comes into the kingdom of God. We need to actually get out there and be where people are getting saved many times. We need to trust God to see someone returning that has been lost. Because sometimes we're a bit like, we get like the older brother. And so when someone returns, then we get all, is this now a favorite? Is this not a little favorite son? Yeah, look at how radically he got saved. You know, look at how special he is to God. And so then we start feeling, but I've been serving all these years. I've been slaving away, and doesn't seem to be any celebration for me. And the devil just lies to us and says that God doesn't really like you. He likes that guy more because he was off the rails and he was like this weird, and now he's saved. But you've been saved all your life. So we can get hard, and we can forget that God still pursues us, and God is knocking at our doors every day, and He's saying, just son, come in. I just want a relationship with you. Don't do a lot of stuff. Don't try and earn your salvation. You're already a son. Just see it and just come and just chill for a while. Just come celebrate when someone else has come back home. Just celebrate when your brother's flesh and blood. And I want to say the Father knows our hearts. And He knows they've become hard many times, and He'll continue to knock at our door, the door of our hearts every day, and say, come, come, come. And I want to say tonight that things are many times going to happen that will just expose where our hearts are. Whether we're an older son maybe or a younger son, doesn't matter, but things will happen that will expose our hearts, and then we'll have to start to say, sure, there is a bit of junk in my life. There's a manifestation many times of our own reaction. Sometimes it's not outward. It's all about inward. It's our attitudes, and our hearts grow hard towards God, towards people. But I want to say the heart of the Father does not change. The heart of the Father pursues all of His children. And that's my last point here. He has no favorites. Verse 31 says, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. So he tells his oldest son, he says, son, you've been with me all the time, and you know, there's your inheritance, it's yours, but it seems like you don't understand it. You've been slaving away, and you're not quite sure of who you are, and you're not quite sure you're a son, and it's sad because my heart is for you, I love you. And so he knows and he assures the older son that he's just as loved, just as celebrated, just as important as the younger son. There's no favoritism with God. And I believe tonight some people think, you know, God's got these favorites. You know, the golden boy or golden girl, everything they touch turns to gold. It seems like there's like a little favorite that God has. Yeah, you know, God's got something going with this person. Then you start to feel inferior and you start to feel less important, and that's a lie. Because if you're a son of God and you know Jesus Christ tonight, then you're a son. You're not a slave. Just to share a little bit about my own heart, and you know, God is showing me this stuff because I am typical of the older son. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you're more the rebellious son, and I don't want to say that some people are only rebellious or only religious. The older son represents religion and, you know, doing all the right things and ticking the boxes, but just there's no life. And so all of us have some of it in our lives. All of us have a bit of an older son mentality many times. We've got that religion and that slavery and that, you know, we know God and we've walked with God all our lives, but we don't understand these rebellious people many times. Some of us have got more rebellion in us. We always walk away and we're just easily distracted and God's just not important, and just like William shared. Or you get hard towards God because, you know, stuff happens. But all of us have got some kind of a bit of the religion and a bit of rebellion. Doesn't matter. I don't know where you are. But generally, we tend more towards the one than the other. And the other night in our Connect group, we had an amazing discussion about this. And I think 2 out of the 10 people that were there had more rebellious streaks in them. The rest of us were all older sons. And it was just amazing to realize. And last year, I had coffee with Pastor Henny from Johannesburg. Me and Hester, we just sat with him and just chatted. And he ministered to us. And we just realized both of us are older sons. We literally are firstborn children. I'm like one of two. I've got a younger brother. And when I see my brother, I think of this rebellious son. When I look at myself, I'm like, that's me, the older son. Always been this goody-goody, always doing the right thing. And, you know, I just realized I don't always have grace with the rebels in the world, you know. How can you walk away from God, and how can you not do the right thing? Come on, get a life, you know. And you get so frustrated with people that are walking away, and you just don't have grace, and you don't have compassion for where people are at, and it's always got to be right and perfect and all of that stuff. And so we ministering with Henny there, and it's just amazing, and I just had an encounter with the Lord, and both of us just realized we're so hard on ourselves. We're such typical older sons. And God just freed me then. And then Henny just prayed over me. He said, you know what, Alistair, you and Hester are young in Bloemfontein because Bloemfontein is full of older sons. Bloemfontein is full of religious people. And our nation is full of religious people, and I guess a lot of rebels as well. But so many times, I'm not saying we're all religious yet tonight. I'm not at all saying that. I'm just realizing, you know, I thank God for the gospel. I thank God that he saved my life from religion. And he continues to save me from doing the right thing and trying to earn myself a place. And God says, just be my son. And so you see, I want to say tonight, Jesus Christ came to demonstrate not religion, not rebellion. He came to demonstrate what I call adoption, the spirit of adoption. And that's what's great for me tonight is when I read this heart of the Father and I see these two sons, I realize, you know, it doesn't matter which son you are, whether you're a rebellious son or a religious son, the gospel is still all you need. And in fact, the only thing that can save you. And both sons needed to do this. And unfortunately, the older son, it does represent a lot of the Jews, you know, the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the law givers, very hard. And the rebellious son represents the Gentiles, of whom we are as well. But many of us grow up in Christian homes. We grow up doing the right thing, and then we start to get religious on God. Or some of us have grown up not knowing God, and then we're so lost. And God says, all of you, come back. I want to give you the spirit of adoption. And for that, I'm so thankful to Jesus Christ, because he has called us his sons and given us his spirit, the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father, by whom we can know him as our daddy. So I want to say tonight, this is the heart of the Father. And God did this, Jesus did this, so that we can also have the same heart for other people. So I want us to, the band to come forward, and I want us to pray this evening. I know that the Lord has spoken to each of you in your unique way tonight. He's spoken to you because it's your heart is on the line here. And I believe God is raising up a Joshua generation amongst us as young people, including myself. I'm young. But you guys are just a bit younger. But all of us are a Joshua generation. God is raising up a new generation of fathers, young fathers, that will father people. Amen. So I believe tonight we need to pray for some men here that need to step into your fatherhood. You need to realize that you're a father. But before you can become a father, you've got to realize that you need to be adopted as a son in Christ Jesus' house. Because if you don't understand adoption and that you are actually so lost, all of us are so lost, all of us are rebels or religious or whatever we are. But we need Jesus Christ to say, I want to give you the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit came not only to help us, to comfort us, but He came to affirm us. It's called a seal, you know, like an engagement ring. He wants to put that engagement ring on us and say, I've adopted you. You're going to heaven one day. You're going to be with me in glory. But for now, I've adopted you as a son, and you've got a purpose to live for. So before you can become a father, you need to understand, you need to be a son in the house, because you're going to destroy people's lives if you're a slave. Okay? There's so many slaves in the kingdom of God. Amen. I think we can all relate to that. We've all been confronted with slave mentality. As leaders and as dads, some of our dads are still struggling with their identity. And I was speaking to a guy this morning that has got a challenge with his dad. He doesn't really have a relationship with his dad. And he says, how do I do this thing? Because my dad actually phoned me the other day. And, you know, I don't know if he wants relationship with me. And I don't know if I want relationship with him. And I just said to him, you know what? You know what's amazing about God? If your dad doesn't know God, and you start to come into identity as a son in God's house, you start to become a father to him in the spirit. And you will start reconciliation. You will start the process of restoration, because that's who God is. God is not into age. So some of us, God wants us to actually bring restoration in our families. He wants us to bring restoration as fathers to young and old, but spiritually lost people. That's exciting, guys. That's why we're living. Jesus came to restore the heart of the fathers to the children, children to fathers, and it's got nothing to do with age. It's got to do with the spirit of adoption. But I believe tonight God really wants us to look at our own hearts and say, where am I so rebellious many times? Where am I so religious and such a slave? I don't understand my freedom always in God, in Christ. But tonight I realize, Father, that you are so good. God, your heart is like this father in the story, because that's why Jesus told the story and Jesus demonstrated it. Jesus was this father to us. Amen. He was a father to the Jews and to the Gentiles. He was a father to the slave and to the rebels, to the free and everyone, male, female. There's no one excluded from Christ's father's heart. So tonight I want to say everyone is invited. Everyone is invited. And I believe some sons have to come back here this evening. Some sons need to say, God, I'm actually eating with the pigs. I'm just missing out on this abundant life. I want to come back. So I want us all to stand this evening. I want you to pray. If you're a believer, yeah, to just pray. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to be really honest tonight. If you maybe don't know Jesus tonight, if you've never had that adoption put over you and say, you're my son, where Jesus has told you personally, and you've got a relationship with him, and you hear his voice saying, I'm well pleased with you, you're my son, come. And I want you to come forward this evening. I would love to pray for you. If you need to give your life to Jesus or recommit your life to Jesus this evening, or you realize you're such a slave and you want to come and have the Father's heart affirmed over you, son, daughter, I love you. You're now assured of your sonship. If you're not assured tonight, if you're not really sure of your sonship, then I want you to come. Maybe you know Jesus, but you're such a slave. You're such an older son. Or maybe you're just a rebel. You've run away from God like William, and you need to come back tonight to Jesus. Then I want you to say, come. We'd love to pray with you. So I want you to raise your hand if that's you tonight. I want you to just be honest. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I realize the Father is so in love with me, so loves me. I want to come back. I want to turn. I want to turn back. Is there anyone like that tonight? Just raise your hand. Then I want to say, if you really know Jesus tonight, but you realize there's so much stuff that you still need to work through, so much slavery, so much rebellion in your heart many times, and this last while you've been confronted with stuff, and you just realize you're not a true son. You're operating out of slavery. And I want to say tonight, we'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand. If the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart and stirring, just say, Alistair, I'm so in need of prayer tonight. I know Jesus, but I feel far from Him. I don't feel His heart tonight. Then just raise your hand. Is there anyone like that? I'd just love to pray with anyone. If the Spirit is moving, just be honest in your heart and just come. Anyone else, just raise your hand. Or you don't have to raise your hand. Just come forward. We'd love to pray with you tonight. Maybe you're a prodigal here tonight and you just need to come back to Jesus. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home and you've done all the right things, but Jesus is stirring in your heart to just come back to Him. Is there anyone else? Just come. Join our friends here tonight. I know it's a scary place, but it's a place of surrender, a place of total abandonment. Can I have some facilitators just to pray for them? Can we have some facilitators just to pray for them, please, to lay hands on them? Thank you very much. The sons and daughters are coming back to the house of God. We can get excited. Amen. I want to say, we must get excited when people come back to Jesus. Amen. I believe the time is coming where people are going to be flooding to Jesus. Not only in church. Church is just practice. Imagine people flooding in your class to get saved and saying, I want to be saved. I just want to come back. I feel so full of life and full of like the world. Not life in abundance, but full of the world. I just want Jesus. Are we ready for a church? Are we ready to celebrate when the prodigals come back? Are we ready to get excited for the lost to get saved? Amen. Just want to say, let's pray for the lost. Let's get excited for the lost to get saved. And then when an altar call happens, you know, we'll be ready to. I remember when I used to start to pray for people that came forward. I was like so excited to pray for someone. I want to challenge us and say, let's get excited again about lost people, because we're so used to just being in the Father's house, you know. When the rebellious sons come back, we're like, I'm not going to celebrate. So I just want to challenge us. The harvest is ready, guys. The laborers are few. Are we ready to be laborers in the harvest field? I want to pray for some men here tonight. If you believe tonight that you've been called to be a father, then I want you to come forward and we're going to anoint you this evening. If you know that you're a son in the house, that you want to step up to become a father, then I want some of the leaders here tonight to come pray for you. Okay? So if the men in the house, if you feel God is calling you to be a father figure in the church and just in everywhere, then I want you to come and we're going to anoint you. Okay? So any guys here, you're a son in the house and God's really calling you to be a dad in the spiritual. Okay? You'll have your kids as well, but we're going to pray for fathers here tonight. So just come. If you feel the Spirit stirring you to be a dad, doesn't matter how young you are, then come. God wants to anoint fathers here in this evening. Anyone else? Thanks. Is there any other guys that you want to become a father in the house of the Lord? I believe there's a couple of guys here. God is stirring you. You're a son, but you need to become a dad. Then come. Don't be shy, guys. We're going to anoint some dads. Yeah, we anointed some dads this morning. Can I just say, do any guys not want to become fathers here tonight? Can you just put up your hand if you don't want to become a father? Okay, well then if you want to become a father, then come. We're going to anoint you tonight. Like, this is not ministry, this is anointing. So the guys, come. We're going to anoint you to be dads tonight. Okay, there's a bit of confusion. You can anoint people, yeah. So the dads, the men in the house, come. We're going to anoint you to be dads. This is not like confusing. If you don't want to be a father, you don't have to. But no one put up their hand for not wanting to be a father. So let's anoint you guys. Okay, come, mana. It looks like the guys are like, what's this all about? Okay, this is about the spirit of sonship, okay? You're stepping into your fatherhood tonight, okay? The Holy Spirit is moving here tonight, and He's telling us about sonship, amen? So I want you to just receive it now. So just open your arms. Can we have some other, are there some other guy, men, leaders here tonight? Jaco, as jy klaar gebid het, if you can just pray for some of the men as well. Father, I thank you for these mighty men, Lord. Lord, I thank you that our church is stepping into a heart of the Father tonight, Lord. But thank you for sons, Lord. I thank you. I just sense, Lord, some of these men, Lord, are not too sure about their sonship. But tonight, Lord, as they step into fatherhood tonight, Lord, you are going to release, Lord, a spirit of adoption over each one, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every testimony here tonight. Lord, Johanna Shekhan, bid for Imana, sublief. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your anointing here tonight, Lord. We're gonna minister to the men now, a couple of us. The band, you guys can minister. Ladies, just pray. Because God is really looking for fathers. Amen. We're a fatherless generation, but the Joshua generation is the new generation of dads. Amen.
Another song. Everything. Father, I'll stop finishing with prayer. I think we can end off with a praise song once again and just end off the service, and then after that we can just go grab a coffee and chat further. So join us as we sing the last song for the service.